number 424, The Way of the Cross Leads Home.
I must needs go home.
Thank you. I'd like to welcome everybody this morning to our worship service. It's good to be here. It's good to see all the visitors. We welcome you as well. We enjoy having visitors around, so we'd like to invite you to our worship service this morning. First of all, what I'm going to share this morning, I don't share it to say that I have it figured out. Something that I work on from day to day. Just something that I've been thinking about lately, and I'm going to share it this morning. So if you would turn with me to Luke 17, verse 11. And we'll read verse 11 all the way to verse 19 this morning. Luke 17, 11 through 19. And this is a story of the healing of the 10 lepers. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go shew yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. So here we have 10 lepers. They were at their wit's end. They needed Christ's healing. They saw Jesus and they cried out for mercy. Jesus told them to go show themselves to the priests, and they obeyed, and they had faith enough to obey what Jesus told them. And as they went their way, they were healed. 9 of them went their way, thankful for the healing and the blessing that they received. They focused on the blessing rather than the giver. The other one was he was a Samaritan. It doesn't really say in the Bible who the other men were, if they were Samaritans or Jews. It's very possible some of them were Jews. I don't know. But this Samaritan, he was considered at that time to be an outcast of society. More or less, he was a sinner. He did not know the scriptures very well, possibly. But he recognized Jesus as being the giver. He recognized there was something greater there. He came back and he fell on his face before Jesus. He was humble. He humbled himself. The 9 were healed by the power of Christ, while the other one was healed by his faith. And what I want to focus on this morning, I guess, is the blessings in our life. Sometimes we Well, I could say that we're all blessed people this morning, especially we live in a land of freedom, and we all have plenty of financial or material possessions, I believe, this morning. And too often, we focus, or at least myself anyway, we tend to gravitate towards the blessing and forget the one who gave us, who blessed us. I guess when my mind started traveling down this road, I was reading this, my personal Bible reading, I was reading through the Old Testament there. And I was reading about the Israelites. There's kind of this, as you read through there, you see this pattern of God's people. They start out good. They follow Christ, they follow God, they follow His leading. And then when times get good, they tend to forget God. And they fall into bondage, and then they cry out for mercy. And it just seems like throughout the whole Old Testament, it's kind of this cycle with the Israelites. And I think sometimes we as Christians today can be the same. And if you look at history, it seems like it works that way sometimes. You know, when we, how often do I ask for, what does my personal prayer life look like? Sometimes we ask for blessings, and we forget to thank God for the prayers that He's already answered. And we can be a little selfish with our prayers at times, I believe, and imagine what it would be like if somebody came to you every day and asked for things, but they never gave you any praise. I believe God delights in our praise. I believe He deserves it. I'm going to look at a verse in Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. I believe we as Christians, even though maybe at times our prayers aren't answered the way we think they should be, we are still a blessed people. We as Christians, we have a reason to be thankful for what God has given us. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. If it wouldn't be for God's mercy and for God's faithfulness, none of us would be here. We have salvation. And if we forget to thank God, we become self-centered at times. As I was thinking about that, my mind went to a verse in Psalm 40, verse 8. I'll just quickly turn to that and read it. Psalm 40, verse 8. I delight to do Thy will, God. Yea, my law is within Thy heart. So if we're living in thankfulness, doing God's will should be a delight to us and not drudgery. I believe this thankfulness is not something that we should be forced. It should be something that flows out of our lives. And it should come out in every area of our life. It's a lifestyle. Should come out in our lifestyle. Sometimes we go through life and we try to see what we can get out of life instead of what we can put into it to help others. Brian mentioned that last night, living and being intentional to help others out. I believe if we're thankful, we will be a giving people. We will give, and it shouldn't be something that is forced either. It should be something that we realize that we're blessed, and this giving should just flow from our lives. We should be a cheerful giver. You know, as I was thinking about this morning, sometimes, to bring out a point, sometimes it's good to have a little bit of a object lesson. So, this morning I'm going to share something that I was just thinking about. A couple weeks ago, I had the privilege of flying over to the Ohio-Pennsylvania state line. And as I took off, I saw that it was kind of hazy, and my route took me directly across Lake Erie. So I knew that I wouldn't be able to see land for a while. And as I flew along, I hit Lake Erie, and I believe it's about 50 miles across there. And I could not see land for a while. And in aviation, we're taught to scan our instruments. And how you fly the airplane is how good you can fly the airplane determines on how you scan your instruments. It all comes down to how we scan them. And there's a common error that a lot of pilots make. It's called fixation. And they tend to fixate on a certain instrument and forget about the rest of them. And all these, there's about, your standard airplane has six instruments, basically. It's called commonly referred to as a six-pack. You need all six of these to make the airplane fly straight and level. You can't just focus on one and expect to make the airplane fly the way you want it to. And I think in life, that's the same way. We kind of tend to get fixated on things of this earth, and we forget about who the real giver is in life and where these blessings actually come from. And there's a lot of history out there that shows that when we become fixated on the wrong things, there's the results of that is to our own spiritual ruin. Just recently, I was reading a book about the Russian Mennonites. I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with that book, with the Russian Mennonites. But they moved into Russia, and as I have my history right, they moved in there. They were persecuted before that. And they settled down, and they were prosperous. They became wealthy, very wealthy. And they forgot they became fixated on the wrong thing, and they forgot God. And this story is very tragic, but I believe that we can learn from it, and I believe there's a lot of other things in history that we can look at and see that the results of what happens when we focus on the blessing rather than the giver. So let's Just remember to focus on God, focus on things of God, and that'd be our prayer this morning. So why don't we stand for a word of prayer? Lord, we just come to you this morning. We thank you for another day. Thank you for the Lord's day of rest so we can set aside to worship you and to congregate here and to lift each other up, exhort one another. We just pray for those of this country that are leading our country. We just pray that they could make decisions that would be honoring and glorifying to you. We just thank you for all the blessings you have given us. We're very blessed people. We thank you for freedom of worship. And we thank you for brotherhood that we have here. We just want to pray for each one that's represented here from maybe different communities. We just pray that they could go home and serve you. And be a witness and a shining light for you. We just pray for Brian as he brings the message. Give him the words to speak as he shares what God has laid on his heart. We just want to pray that you would be with us as listeners, that we could apply what we hear to our lives and practice it in our daily life. We just ask all these blessings in your dear son's name. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. Greet you all in the name of our precious King Jesus this morning. I want to, along with the others, welcome each one here this morning. It's a privilege and a blessing to be together with a group of people who are striving to serve our King Jesus. What a better place to be than to get together with people who you know are who are wanting the best for you, people who are striving to help you walk the road that isn't always easy. And what a privilege that we have. There's thousands of Christians who would just love the freedom that we have this morning to be able to serve Christ with no worry or no fear of somebody racing in here and capturing everyone and also sentencing people to death. And I think sometimes I forget the privilege and the blessing we have to be able to freely serve Jesus and to be able to freely say that, you know, I am a soldier for Christ. We can freely say that in a public place. And does that make us a better witness, or are we sidetracked by the things that Christ has, that things of this world, and we don't see the purpose and the meaning and the reason that God has each one of us here? For a message this morning, we are going to dive back into that verse in Ephesians. And that verse we're going to look at is in Ephesians 2, verse 10. And in Ephesians 2, verse 10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And when we look at that verse and we think about living intentionally, last night we talked about our identity. You know, what are we? What are we as humans? And we went over the idea and the thought and the meaning of the word masterpiece. And we talked about the idea that we are created by God, a perfect God who makes no mistakes. And we were molded and shaped by a God. Everything about us, God created. And we were touched and formed by a perfect God. Do we feel and understand that we are God's masterpiece? And then we talk some about purpose. Why? Why am I here? Why me? Why this morning? Do I feel sometimes like I'm a mistake, or I don't fit in, I'm different, my road isn't easy to walk, I'm in the way, I'm a burden? And what is the purpose? And it says there in Ephesians 10, it says, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what?" We're created for good works. And when we think about being created for good works, and it brings purpose to our life when we understand the why I am here, the why I am who I am, the why I was born into the family I was born into, why am I here, why me, why now? And the purpose is, it says here, the purpose is for good works. And what are good works? What are the things that we can do or are doing? What did God have in mind when he created me? What are the works that he designed for me to do? He prepared them beforehand. Even before I was born, God prepared these things. What are they? And it says that they're good works. Well, what are good works? And we talked some last night about the side effects if we don't understand the purpose, if we don't understand the purpose of why we're here. We don't understand that we were created for good works and God prepared something for us to do. He gave us a mission. And some of them side effects were like, we're always going to be envious of others, and we're not going to have meaning. We're going to have a void. There's going to be a missing piece. We're not going to feel needed. And that's if we don't understand the purpose. God does have a purpose for your life that is important. Until you uncover the purpose that God has for you, your Christian life will be cold and hot. It'll be on fire for Jesus, and then you're going to find yourself barely wanting to follow. You're going to find yourself barely wanting to worship. you'll find yourself in a valley, and I sometimes find myself there. And there can be more than one purpose in life, but when we understand our calling, it makes it easier to walk, and that's just a steady Christian walking, following, steady movement. It's not this roller coaster. And yes, life does have mountains and valleys, and we go through hard things, and God walks beside us, and He understands what we're going through. But if we understand our purpose, and we understand that we have a mission that God created for us, and we see that purpose, it's easier to walk a steady life. It's easier to wake up in the morning and be excited about the things and the people and the what and the why that God has for you. And it can be the same the next day and the next day and the next day when we remember that we are God's masterpiece. And when we remember that there is a purpose and we remember that there is a calling for love, for good works. And what is that for me? What is that calling? And what is that purpose? And what are the good works? And what are the things that God has right in front of me today that I overlook? If your life loses meaning, it doesn't mean that you're not a Christian, and it doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. But what it could mean is that maybe I'm not doing here on this planet Earth what God had in mind for me to do. Maybe my eyes are not open to the mission that's right beside me. Maybe I'm sidetracked. I like Neil's thought on fixated. You talked about the Russian Mennonites, their drive for money and wealth and growing. And I can get caught up in the things at work and the things that I think are important and the things that look like a big deal to me. And I mind overlook the guy with the flat tire along the road when I'm on the way to do some project. Or I might totally overlook the little deed a neighbor asked me to do because I'm fixated on this far out thing out there somewhere that I'm trying to obtain. And God's purpose for your life is seeing the here and now. It's the people that God brings into your life and the people that are in your life when you wake up in the morning. It's not this out there maybe someday thing. It's the right here and the right now. And it doesn't have to be, you know, God calls people all over the place, but what I want to focus on and think about is the people right close to us. And how often do I overlook the mission and the things that are right on my doorstep because of this hope and dream that's out there somewhere? We have stuff to do that has been prepared by God for us to do. God has prepared things for you to do, and we have to meet them things with faith, with patience and perseverance. Sometimes the things that God calls us to do aren't easy. Some of us walk through valleys that are hard and dark, and sometimes there's health issues, and sometimes there's things that we do question, and we do wonder, and we do ask God why. I think that's our human nature. But God has a purpose for you today where you're at. It's easy to overemphasize on relationships and underemphasize on the obedience to Christ. Sometimes we can find ourselves with an imbalanced Christian life. We think that maybe God doesn't care so much about our time or what we're doing. But you know, that's wrong. God does care. God does care about the things I'm doing with my time. Our relationship with God is everything. It's super important. But obedience gives God glory. How often in life we pray that the Holy Spirit would help somebody, or we pray that somebody would be comforted. Most times when that happens, it's through another individual. If you're going through some stressful time and you meet somebody and they share with you, the Holy Spirit worked through that person. You know, and we can get caught up, or I can get caught up on my relationship with Christ, and I'm sitting basking in my love for Jesus, and that's good and okay, but there's also more to the story. What happens if God is calling me or calling you to do something so close to our fingertips that we overlook it? And obedience is what brings God glory. And I often like the quote that obedience is the shortest path to our destination. What God is calling you to do and asking you to do in your life right now is the shortest path to your destination. And obedience brings God glory. And we talked last night, you know, these things we're talking about, works and doing things, I'm talking to people that I trust are in the fight. These things, doing these things cannot win our salvation, but doing these things give us purpose. These following, this being available gives us purpose in life. And something I thought of too is, you know, at the end of life, God says, he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, if there was something happening, you were doing something, you were available, you were present. He doesn't just say well believed, he says well done. You know, what are the things that we're called to do? And if we find them things, it gives us purpose. And when we see the things that God has brought into our lives, it gives us purpose. Last night we read in John 17 where Jesus said that I have finished the work that you've given me to do. And are me and you going to say that? Do we understand that God has given us as individuals a work to do? And he has a plan and a path that only you can fill that need. There is no other person that can fill the need that God has tailored, he has planned, he has put in place for you. It's your calling, and you were created by God for that work. Am I available? Are my hands willing? Do I see the need of being a Christian? Do I see the need around me? As a Christian's responsibility, God's work applies directly to others experiencing eternal life. You know, the things we do don't bring glory to us, but what they do, the being available, the hearing, the seeing, the giving a drink of water to a child, whatever, however small it may seem to you, that is helping others experience eternal life. And if there is one thing that can give an individual purpose and meaning in life, is when you feel the Holy Spirit working through you to help lift up another's burdens or to bring Jesus into a dark setting. And it might be as little as picking a child up that fell. If God brought you in line close to that child that fell, he had that in your schedule as something for you to do in the name of Jesus, lifting up, helping. It's that close. Your calling and your mission is that close. And it's not for you. It's to help others experience eternal life. That's the good works we're called to do. Matthew 25. Start reading. I'm going to start reading in Matthew 25. I'm going to start reading at verse 31. Was this water setting up here when I asked for a drink last night, Brent? I overlooked it, I think. Thank you. Matthew 25, starting at verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then we shall sit on the throne of his glory. Before him we will gather all nations, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will set the sheep on the right hand, and the goats on the left hand. Then the king will say to those on the right hand, Come, you blessed of the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you since the foundations of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hunger and fed you? or thirsty and gave you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothed you? And when did we see you sick in prison and came to you?" The king answered, "Truly I say to you, as you have done it to the one of the least of these brothers of mine, you've done it for me." And what I want to point out here and look at is the small and the maybe unnoticed things that God is telling the righteous that they'd done when they were here on earth. He mentions giving somebody a drink. And how often in life am I focused on this maybe big plan that God has me, or hopefully this some big calling that God's calling me to, and it might be as little as giving somebody a drink that's right at my doorstep. And for mothers especially, the amount of love and Jesus, and I can't describe the power and the blessing of a mother taking care of children. That calling is probably the highest calling here on this earth. A marriage, for instance, your marriage is a ministry. Your marriage is a ministry, and it's your first calling. Before any other calling, your marriage is a ministry. Your marriage is representing Christ in the church. Are we keeping them things alive? Is that a flame? Is that a witness? Do we put our focus on them? Do we, in family life, them are the things. And in the youth, if you think of the influence that youth have on younger, you take 7th graders, 6th graders, 14, 13, whatever the age and down through, the amount of influence that a youth has on people that are following them is tremendous. Somebody is watching you. Somebody is noticing the things you do because you were created for a purpose. You were called by God for a mission and a work. Who are the people? Who are the people? Maybe you don't know for sure who the people are. Maybe you don't see real clearly who and what and why. But if you understand that God has a work that was prepared for you beforehand, before you were even born, God set this work up for you, I feel like it opens up our eyes and it opens up our minds and it opens up our hearts to what's in front of me. What are the who and what are the people right in front of me that I can be the hands and feet of Jesus to right now today? Because they are there and they are hurting. Last night we talked about the man with the chopped off arm and nobody noticing him. Who is that? And it might not be a person with a chopped off arm. It might be somebody that looks perfectly fine and healthy. And there's just something they need. They just need someone to walk beside them. Are you available? And in my workplace, there was a young man who committed suicide. Somebody that I spent hours with. Shouldn't happen. Are we present? Are we noticing the people right here, right now? Are we noticing the people that God has put in our workplaces, the people that we work with? Or do we have such a far out vision and goal that we don't even see the people that God asked and God lined up to come walk beside us for a little? And oftentimes I think that's at work. Oftentimes it's the people that we're working with. And it might be the people at the grocery store. It might be the people, the cashier that rings up your groceries. Are our ears and eyes open and tuned into the calling that God has on your life? You don't need a huge platform to fulfill your purpose. It doesn't take a huge platform to fulfill your purpose. God custom tailored good works. And they're often as simple as noticing someone who is thirsty or lonely or just needs a basic act of care. A basic act of care. Do we see that as a mission and a calling? Or do we see that as some small, unimportant thing as we're on our way to reach and obtain this big goal that's out there somewhere? And this is moving us from consumers to an active player in God's story. Are we just going through life with no purpose, just a consumer of life, taking in food and air and all these things and blessings, and we're not being an active player in God's story? You would have not been created if God would not have a plan and a purpose for you. You are a player in God's story, and He is asking you to see the people that He brought into your life. He's calling you to notice. He's calling you to be the hands and feet of Jesus. It's living with intention. It's intentionally hearing and living and knowing that my God has called me to something. Good works don't save us, but they will give you purpose, and they will bless the people around you. And when I think of finding our calling or walking in our purpose, God never calls somebody to walk in a road that doesn't align with the gospel. God never asks somebody to do something that dims or darkens our witness for Christ. God never calls us to walk on a road or to go in a spot or be in a place where the light of Jesus is dampened. God will never call you to a road like that. God will never call you to a spot where you're supposed to or feel led to be dishonest or throw curveballs, if you might. That is not God. And it can be deceitful and it can be tough, because it says that the angel is like, sometimes he's dressed in sheep's clothing, and sometimes he comes to us and he's like an angel of light. Things can look good and they're bad. Verify, make sure that your calling is a light. Make sure that what God is asking you to do, and when you get to a crossroad and you take a step, make sure that the step you're taking is something that is bragging about Jesus. It's a step that is lifting up our Savior. It's a step that makes people know that you're serving King Jesus. When you come to a crossroad and you make a choice, it needs to be a choice that people can see that you're an ambassador of Christ. They know when you came to a crossroad and the direction you turned that way because you're serving Jesus. You didn't turn that way perchance. You didn't turn that way to better yourself financially. You didn't turn that way because you were going to gain something. You turned that way because you're an ambassador for Jesus Christ. God calls us to walk roads, and He never calls us to walk on a road where our light's going to be darkened or dimmed. He calls us to roads where Jesus will be glorified, and people will notice that you're serving King Jesus. And what is my response? What is my response when I realize that I was created by God? I'm a masterpiece. And what is the response when I understand that God has called me to good works? What happens? So I understand that I'm God's. I understand that there's a need, and I understand that He loves me and created me, and I understand that sometimes the devil will bring negative titles to me that I try to hang on to, and I say, not today, Satan, and I hang on to knowing that I was created by God for a purpose. And what's the outcome of that? What does that look like when we understand that? It says in the verse 10 there in Ephesians 2, that you were created in Christ Jesus for good works, which were prepared beforehand, so that we should walk in them. And this bridges the gaps and thoughts and actions. God prepared a path, but He does never force us down it. We have to physically step into it, walk. It doesn't say sprint, fly, or leap, or jump, or any of them. And walking is an ordinary, slow, rhythmatic, daily thing. It means that in our normal, messy, day-to-day lives, it is a call to move from passive intentions to active living. One step at a time. It's a call to go from just, oh, why this, why that, to active living. and it's a steady step. It's each day waking up and knowing that I am here for a reason and there is a purpose for my life. And the people that come into my life are there for a reason and they're there for a purpose. It's walking. It's not this up and down and on fire for Jesus and then depressed. It's a steady walk. It says that we should walk in them. It doesn't say that we should grab onto them for a little bit and feel good and then the next day be in the dumps. It says walk. And when someone walks, they can normally go a lot further at the same pace, or I know I can, than when I run. A walk is something that is steady. Walk in them. And how do I walk out my mission? And when we understand that we have a purpose and God prepared this work and we embrace it, walk, like accept the work. And to accept the work, you start making steps. Why me? Why am I here today? Who is God calling me to help? Who is God calling me to lend a helping hand to? It may be your parents. It may be your youngest sibling. It may be somebody at work, but it's close. It's so close, I think we overlook it. I overlook it. And can this walk be fueled by love? Before doing good works, we have to understand love. And if we're living for Jesus, I think we understand love. We understand that because of Christ's love, he died on the cross for me. We're doing these good things because these things that we're doing, lending a helping hand, giving a drink of water, they are because we understand Christ's love for us. They are because we understand that God gave his only son who died on the cross. These are the things that happen when we understand that. We do good things because he already loves us. Love is the fuel. Good works are the vehicle. And when we are fueled by love and we are understand that we are on fire and we're a light and we're serving King Jesus, the things that we do are the vehicles that bring that light into other areas. These helping hands, these being the hands and feet of Jesus, they are the driving thing that shines Jesus. They're the things that come out. And we're not doing them to try to gain favor for Christ. We're doing them because we understand Christ's love for us. We're doing them because we understand that we're a masterpiece of God's. Do we understand that? And that should fuel us to walk. That should fuel us to walk steadily, just going down the road, being the hands and feet of Jesus. God has already set up the opportunities. It may be in your school, it may be in your family, it may be in your friendships. You don't have to invent a purpose. You just have to look for the steps that he already laid out. You don't have to invent the purpose. God already preordained them for you. Walk in them. Walking requires movement. It requires energy. It requires intent. You can't walk while sitting on the couch. You can't walk while sitting on the couch scrolling. Intentional living means looking at the day and asking, where is God working right now? It takes action. It takes effort. It takes energy. When you wake up in the morning and look at your day, where is God working right now? Where and how and what can I do for Jesus today? Don't let the things that we're focusing on out there keep us from seeing the things on our doorstep. Walking with God is being in an intimate relationship with him. He knows just what we need. You know, we serve a God that knows what we need even before we ask it. It's not hard. It's not complicated. It's not unreachable. We serve a God who understands what we need even before we ask him. In your walk, make sure that God is with you. We can get caught up in just doing things to try to find favor and gain favor with Christ. We're human, we naturally backslide. And make sure our walk is fueled by love. And that love that needs to fuel us is our love for Christ. And when we think of having, a love for Christ that is fueling, that the thing that gives us the energy to get up in the morning and say, where is God working today? And what has He prepared for me today? The fuel that makes us want to take them steps is our love for Christ. Do we understand our love for Christ? Do we understand what He's done for us? And every time I think about walking and I think about steadily being the hands and feet of Jesus and continuing from day to day, I think about Enoch. And Enoch, he never experienced death. He walked with God, and it says that he walked and he was not. So Enoch was a man who walked so close with God that it would appear that he walked with God right up into heaven. He was constantly in tune with God. And what a beautiful example. Can me and you, can we walk in a way that we never die spiritually? And the answer is yes. In a spiritual sense, and we could. God could take our walk when we're walking beside Him, and we could walk up to heaven. If that's what God has in your predestinated plans, then that's what will happen. But just think of it in the fact that you can walk with God in a spiritual sense like Enoch did and never die. Walking is something that's steady. It's maintained. It's continuous, and it just keeps going. Can we do that in a spiritual sense? Can we walk with God and not have these highs and lows? Steadily walking with God, just like Enoch did. And when Enoch walked with God, there's a list of things I have here that came out of his life. And when we remember looking at the heart connection, the longing that God has to walk with us. God is longing to walk with you. God is longing to be in communion with you. God is longing to know your desires to help and to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Are you walking close enough with God that He knows what you're going through? Are you walking so close to God that you can talk to Him just like a friend? You don't have to always kneel and shut your eyes. You can be going through your day and you can be telling, you know what, Lord, I'm dealing with jealousy today. I'm struggling and I don't know where this is coming from. Can we talk to God like that? He hears us just like a friend or a brother or a mom or a dad, or He's right there. And what's so neat is He already knows what you need before you ask Him. So it's not a surprise to Him when you tell Him something you're dealing with. He doesn't look at you and say, why are you dealing with that? I told you a long time ago I loved you. He knows. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows exactly where them ouchies are in your heart. And He just wants you to give them. He's asking to take them. Does our walk have Jesus that close that we can give these things to Him and let Him take them away? If you walk as close to God as Enoch did, you won't be lonely. If you walk with God as close as Enoch did, you won't be afraid. And fear is a tricky one. Oftentimes I need to give things to God. Fear can, what's up, why? And you gotta give it. But if we are walking with God and we realize, if we're driving, we realize He's sitting beside us. If we're walking, He's walking beside us. He's right there. If we walk with God, we won't be empty. We'll understand our purpose. We'll understand God's reason for creating us. We won't be empty. We won't be worried if our walk is close to God. We won't be insecure. We won't be uncertain. And we won't be self-centered. All these things come from walking. It says that God has pre-prepared for us beforehand. For what? So the outcome is so that we can walk in them. The vehicle to drive these good works out to a dark world. And they're going to happen because of you. They're going to happen because of you hearing God's still small voice and doing the little mundane thing that He asks you to do in the name of Jesus. You're not going to drift through life. Step in knowing that you are God's masterpiece and you're carrying his love. And you're ready and willing to do the work that he prepared for you. That's living intentionally. You're ready and willing to do the work that God has prepared for you. It doesn't mean that work is always going to be easy. It doesn't mean that it's never going to be lonely. It's going to be dark. But if we're walking with God, all them things, lonely, dark, whatever they are, fear, he's right there. Give him. We serve a God who already knows what we're dealing with. He'll take him. Do we see our need for walking? This is how the good works get carried out. And what should it look like? What is reality? What is reality when I say, okay, I am God's masterpiece. He prepared a work for me to do, and I'm going to walk in them. What would that look like here this morning if every single person sitting in these pews would understand that and would know that they are God's masterpiece? They would know that they are created for love and good works, and they would walk in them. What would that look like? How many people around us, how many people close to us would feel the hands and feet of Jesus today yet and tomorrow and the next day? If none of us were focused on this far out something somewhere and would notice the doorstep, would notice the right here, right now. And I think what that would look like is people realizing that nothing is accidental. In real life, walking in them looks like being active. Why looks like walking, waking up, and realizing that your current job might be your family. It might be your normal routines. They might be the exact stage where those pre-prepared good works take place. It means treating the mundane tasks, converting with coworkers, having a heart talk with a friend. That might be designed by God. But this will only happen if you take your life off of an autopilot routine. You're not just going through life haphazardly. Off with autopilot. On with what can I do for you today, Lord? And if God does ask you to do something, it takes effort. And if we're walking with him and we see something, do we have it in us to say, I'm willing? Do we have it in us to say, I'm willing at whatever that thing is that's on our doorstep? You'll know what it is. We serve a God who does not keep things from us. If you are searching and asking God to show you the things in your life right here and now, he will open your eyes to things that you overlooked a lot, and they will be right here. But if we see him, are we willing? How many times in my life did I feel the urge to call somebody, to pray for somebody, to stop along the road and help somebody, and I always can find an excuse? I can always find a reason that somebody else should do it. There's somebody that has more time than me. There's somebody that has more money than me. Oh, they were on the phone. They obviously have help coming. When you start making excuses is a number one sign that God is calling you to something. When your first thing is an excuse, be curious and say, hey, what was that? Why am I excusing the calling that God put on me right here, right now? And if you see them things, you have to be willing. And oftentimes when we're on a mission for something bigger and out there, we don't have the time, so we're not willing. Can I be willing? Someone who is willing is someone who's present. It's a person whose thoughts and mind are where their feet are. And if you think of being present and you think of being where your feet are, that's when God can really start using you for the everyday things in life. It's easy to be somewhere thinking about something else. It's easy to be here waiting for the next thing. It's easy to be with people but not with people. Does that make sense? You're here but you're not. Like, knock, knock, where are you at? And if we are going to be intentional and we are going to be walking this road, and what that looks like is a person that is present. It's a person that is where their feet are. They're available. They have time. They're not up to something else. They're here. Can we be where our feet are? Can we understand that the walk we're on is prepared by God? Be where your feet are. Be present. That's a struggle for me. I can have these things I'm thinking about. What happens if I'm preparing for this two-topic thing and there's a needy child? What is that? What is more important, preparing this topic to where I can do a good job of teaching? Or is it, where are my feet? Yes, I have to study, I get that. But I think being present, and I think the things right on your doorstep are often harder to do than the big things on the stage. And I think they're more important, and I think they also have a bigger impact on God's kingdom than the big things. And don't get me wrong, God does call people to big things. I'm not at all saying don't go where God calls you. But I'm saying let's not let them things keep us from being present. Let's not let them things keep us from being the hands and feet of Jesus right here, right now, today. And I think it's often harder to do the little things right here than it is to do the big things. It's more of a challenge. And if something's more of a challenge, then it's more important and it's more effective in the kingdom and it's more needed. There's somebody needing a drink in your life today. Do we notice them? Do we see them? It says in the Bible that we have tens and thousands of teachers and not many fathers. And just think of that like as being teaching the big thing versus the little present. And youth can look at that too. It's the person that's present. The person that's available, the person that has time to hear, the person that has time to care. That's what it looks like when you get all these things in line and you're walking with God. You know that where your feet land, you're there, you're present. And God could be calling you to something right there. It might not be easy, but that is where God needs you. And when I think of being willing, and when I think of stepping into my purpose and my call in life, I can't help but turn to Isaiah, and I hope I'm not taking this out of context at all. Isaiah 6. I'm going to start reading at verse 4 of Isaiah 6, and I'm going to read to verse 8. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King and the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphims flew to me with a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from off of the altar in his hand, and he laid it on my mouth and said, "This has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged." Also I heard a voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go with us?" You know, if God calls you to a work, and God's asking you to do something, who will be the encourager? When there's people praying that someone would comfort somebody, could the Spirit work through you to be the comforter? Or is God just saying, who will go? Everybody's looking at this thing out there and nobody's right here. Who will go? And then I answered, "Here am I, send me." And he said, "Go and tell your people." And if you are walking the road that God called you to, and you're being present and you are where your feet are, you're living a life with your hands out. You're living a life that you're accepting the things that God has for you right here, right now, today. And you are saying, "Lord, send me." If it's a drink of cold water, if it's a small thing, you still need the willing heart. Lord, send me. Even if God called you to a hard road, is your life saying, Lord, send me? To the thing in life where you're at right now, are you saying, Lord, send me? In the back of your benches, there's a song sheet. We're going to sing here after a bit. And just looking at it through the outcome of intentionally living for Christ, understanding that I am His, understanding that He has called me to a work, knowing that He wants me to steadily walk in the calling I'm in, and the outcome of that being, Lord, send me, I'm willing. Lord, I'm willing to be where my feet are. Lord, I'm available. Lord, I know you called me here today. Marcus, you want to start that song? Poured out like.
Poured out like wine upon the altar for me. Would you be broken like bread? Feed the hungry. Would you be so one with me that you would do just as I will? Would you be life and love my words fulfilled? Yes, I'll be poured out like wine upon the altar.
Let's kneel for prayer. Father, we bow here before you this morning, just thanking you, God, for being our God. Thank you, Father, for being an all-knowing God, for watching over us, for leading us. Thank you, Father, for creating us in your image. Thank you, Father, for giving us hope, for giving us life here today. Father, I just thank you for each one that's here. And God, I just want to pray a blessing over each soul that's represented here this morning. Father, my prayer is that each person could understand their value, understand their need. God, I just pray that if there's anybody here that is accepting the lie from Satan that they're not worth anything or that they're not needed, I just pray in the name of Jesus that you would break that lie and that they could see themselves as a needed person formed by you for love and for good works. God, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would come down and show us areas in our life where you're calling us to walk. Father, I just pray that you would open our eyes to the needy and the things right close to us. God, I just pray that our big dreams and goals would not sidetrack us from being the hands and feet of Jesus right here, right now, today. God, I pray that we would just live a life that brags about Jesus, live a life that glorifies Jesus, a life that shines light into dark places. Father, strengthen us. Father, I pray that you would open our eyes and help us to just be willing. Help us to be able to say, Lord, send me. Father, I just pray that you would strengthen us, give us purpose and give us meaning, and help us, Father, to just be fueled by love for you, fueled by love and understanding of what you've sacrificed for our lives, fueled by love and understanding for what you have already done for us, even though we did not deserve your love. God, you've blessed us and given us way beyond what we ever deserve. Lord, thank you so much for your son, Jesus, who died on that cross so that when we find ourselves in a spot that's not okay, that we can call on you and that you hear. Thank you, God, that you hear and understand and know every area of our lives. You understand and know every area of our hearts. God, I just pray a blessing over each one. I pray, Father, that you would just strengthen us and keep us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
number 400, I will be true to